Somebody confronted me. Do these people believe in the Holy Spirit? Do they believe in fasting? And I'm so happy that before even I could, because I said, yes, they do. And this morning, this question, lecture 24, is going to answer that question that you asked me. And I'm glad for this lesson that has just ended, talking about obedience. In many of African parts, people think they can twist the hand of God by too much fasting, and then you can't disobey. You disobey, you fast a lot, and then you remain the same. And then like yesterday, people are asking, do now after this, whatever, shall people still pay tithe? Shall they pay offerings? All those questions will be answered. So Pastor Cho, there are questions here. You see people here saying amen, but they have questions. And I am glad that the questions are being answered. You don't need to take a lot of time to fast to impress God by missing food and suffering when we have a lot of food around. But simply obey. Hallelujah. And the Lord will bless you. Okay, let me welcome the person going to help us in lecture 24 and answer this question, whether these people believe in the Holy Spirit. Please, lecture 24 is talking about the Holy Spirit.
Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. And we thank you that you are at work in our hearts to lead us into complete obedience to you. We pray that now that you may teach us through this lecture and may grant us the grace that our eyes may be open to see you for who you are. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. During and after the ministry of Jesus Christ, he always spoke about the Holy Spirit. And when he was about to leave, he spoke to his disciples and said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, and I'm going to send you a teacher, a counselor. I'm going to send you a comforter, an advocate. But even before that, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord, has already been promised in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So if we look at our lecture 24, you will see there in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 28. Let me read. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people and I will be your God. Ezekiel chapter 36 verses 31, it says, then you will remember your evil ways and wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. So we can see from here that God had already had in plan to send the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of people, to lead them to do what? To obey him, to walk according to his decrees, to walk according to his ways. And also the Spirit of God here is promised that he may come to open our eyes, that we may see our evil practices, that you may see your evil deeds and loathe them. To loathe simply means to hate, to reject, to cast them away, to turn away from them. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the works of the Holy Spirit that God had already promised even in the Old Testament, it is his sent that he might lead us into obedience to God. Amen. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 24, it says that, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can truly say Jesus is the Lord of my life except by the Spirit of God. You know what that Lord means? Lord means someone who is master, ruler, someone who is king. And you cannot say Jesus is my Lord unless by the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit of God that moves us into obedience to God. Look at what Ezekiel says. That I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my ways. So it is the Spirit of God that helps us to truly confess that Jesus is Lord. And that same Spirit cannot turn around and say, Jesus be cursed. It is another Spirit that says, Jesus be cursed. Romans chapter 8 verses 2. It says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 says, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen.
Amen.
The Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, has set us free from the law and the law of death. Because we were dead in our transgression. We read that one yesterday in Ephesians. We were dead in our transgression. But by the Spirit of God, we are what? Sanctified. We are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let us move on to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18. Says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. When I was reading this text, I was asking myself, wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I remembered the people who are addicted. They take pleasure in alcohol. They cannot settle when they have not taken alcohol. And they can do anything to get it. And when they get it, they feel they are okay. They are okay in quotes. But what about being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's look at the next verse. Emmanuel, please read for us.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, bear fruit that glorify God. That is where they get their satisfaction. That is where they get their fulfillment. Those that want to be filled with alcohol, they get their fulfillment in that. And they want to seek to do the things of their father, the devil. That's what the Bible says. But those that are filled by the Holy Spirit, they find their satisfaction in doing what the Spirit of God leads them to do. And what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and all that kinds of those things that the Spirit of God has spoken here in the Scriptures. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against all this, there is no law against it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 22, it says, in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The church of Christ is being established and is being built so that they together will be the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. Our brother has just told us that we are the carriers of life. We are the carriers of God. Those who have believed in Christ, those that have lambanoed and have held on to Jesus Christ, those that have held on him, those are the ones to whom the Spirit of God comes and lives in. Because Jesus promised that if anyone believes in me, I and the Father and the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in that person. And God dwells in us by his Spirit. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who obey the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? Is to believe the one that he has sent. Those who obey that are the ones to whom the Spirit of God will dwell. The next scriptures tell us about following the Holy Spirit. Now, it is not just about having the Holy Spirit, but it is obeying and submitting to the Spirit of God. Because you can have the Spirit and you resist the Spirit of God. by your own actions, by your deliberate rebelliousness. And if you do that, then you may not end well. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful. And there are so many desires, and the scripture says that our desires are fighting with the Spirit of God. But then how can we be able to overcome? The scripture tells us to live by the Spirit so that we cannot be able to gratify the desires of our flesh. To seek to live under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verses 18 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law." No longer under the legalistic work of the law. Galatians chapter 5 verses 25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." This was the verse that I spent more time thinking about. Let us live in step with the Holy Spirit. Live in step. When the Holy Spirit takes one step, you are in that same step.
Amen.
When He takes the second step, you are also moving in the next step. Not when the Holy Spirit is saying, "We are going to Amolatar to preach the gospel," you are saying, "No, I first want to go to the market."
Okay.
Live in step with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To walk where the Holy Spirit of God leads us. Amen. To walk in step with the Holy Spirit. To walk in step with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, there are some people who want to manipulate the Spirit of God to say the things that they want to say. And then they say it is the Spirit of God who says this. But we are to walk in step with the Spirit. Philippians chapter 3 verses 3 says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ, who put no confidence in flesh." Again, we don't put confidence in the flesh. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in Spirit. And if we worship Him in the Spirit, then we are truly the ones that are circumcised. Not those that put in confidence in the fact that they are circumcised by the flesh. But what is worth boasting about? What is worth boasting about? Is it the fact that you are a senior pastor, or you are a bishop, or you are an international disciple? No. We boast about Christ. And the Holy Spirit testifies about Christ. And we could see from scripture how all the disciples, after receiving the Holy Spirit, were confident and bold enough and could boldly testify about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because they were filled by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Because they were in step with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And when the Holy Spirit could tell them that He wants you to be here, they were there. And they were boastfully, pridefully doing that for the glory of God. John chapter 14 verses 26. He says,
"The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you."
Please help me with my water. I have coffee. It's in my chair. "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things." The Spirit of God will teach us all things. But all things about what?
About
Christ. About what He has done for us. He constantly reminds us that God has loved us so much that He has sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, that all things will be resolved. Our fundamental problem will be resolved. And He reminds us what Christ has said, that "I will be with you to the very end."
Amen.
The Holy Spirit reminds us that. The Holy Spirit reminds us what we ought to do. In John 15, 26, please read.
"When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me."
Not about Himself. You will testify about Christ. Hallelujah. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to testify about how far you have been powerful to impact your country, how far you have been able to grow your church. You are not going to testify about how far, how many miracles you have made. You're not going to testify about your achievements. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll testify about Christ.
Absolutely.
About Christ who is able to establish all things.
Amen.
That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is to help us to testify about Christ. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And who is truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So he will lead us to all truth, because he himself is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says that the Spirit that the Father will send through me in my name, it is the Spirit of Christ that God is sending unto us. And he will not speak of his own. He will speak what he hears the Father, what he hears the Son instructing, and he will speak that. So we might want to ask ourselves, whenever we speak, or whenever you go prophesying, or whenever you go preaching, what kind of spirit is speaking through you? What kind of spirit is speaking through you? Is it the same spirit that hears from the Father and relays it to you and you're able to bring it out? Or it is another spirit that is speaking through you and you're relaying your own message? A question for us to ponder. Acts chapter 1 verses 8.
"But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
At this point in time, the disciples, I can say, were excited. Now finally, our Master is back, because he had just risen from the dead. And they came to him. When they met him, they said to him, "Lord, are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Since you have overcome death, you have made a public spectacle of all these people. You have died, you have risen, now everything is okay, now you are here. Will you now restore the kingdom of Israel?" And Jesus says, "No, I have something else in mind. I want you to be my witnesses." But wait, you cannot be my true witnesses unless you have received power from on high.
Amen.
And then he says to them, when the Spirit of God, when you have received the Spirit, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You know what happens when they receive the power of the Spirit of God? They were bold to declare that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
Peter, in the next verse, in the next chapter, chapter 4, verses 8 and 12.
"Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we have been called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and our acts, how he was healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved."
For us to fully comprehend and understand the weight of this text, I want you to begin to underline the part, the rulers and elders of the people. Now, these are not ordinary people. These are not people from the village. These are people with long beards. Long beards that reach up to here, well-respected people. These are people with authority.
Yes.
That when they say something,
you're
done. And these are the people to whom Peter is standing before.
Amen.
And they're not just one, two, three. It is a whole council of the elders. Peter could have easily cowered and said, you know, my elders, you know, this thing, it's just a scam. You know, I was also just trying. Because he knew. Peter had already seen the action of these people. Peter had already seen these people scourge Jesus. These people had already hanged so many people on the cross. They had beaten and imprisoned these people. But by the power of the Spirit of God, he was bold enough to stand before them and say, it is by the name of Jesus Christ that this man has been healed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we shall be able to be bold to speak about Jesus Christ. And even when you are taken to the state house, when the generals are standing before you, you will not be shaking. You will be bold enough to confess, to testify to them that only Jesus can save. Only Jesus, who is the Christ, can deliver you from your sins. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 5, verses 32.
We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, God has given to those who obey
him. Amen. We are witnesses of these things, meaning we have seen by our eyes. But our testimony may be false, because our eyes might have lied us. But the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, also testifies about this same thing. And so that makes it more authentic. And that Spirit, who is God himself, has been given to those who obey him. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is
the truth.
Amen. Number 4, Jesus Christ reveals the Father. Now, up until this time, you might be wondering, so far, no one has mentioned about the Trinity. Do these people believe the Trinity? The question was asked. Yes, it's here already. We've talked about Christ, we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and now Jesus reveals to us the Father. And so we have all the three in perfect unity, all working together to restore man into the relationship with God.
Amen.
And that is why John, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. Let's read only verses 6.
Only verse 16?
Only verse 6.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 20, says that his body was torn so that we may have a way to enter to the presence of God the Father. And so Christ opens for us the way to access the Father.
Amen.
And so here we have both the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son working together in order to bring man back into that perfect relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had in the beginning. The disciples were wondering, if it were possible, you'd show us the Father. But Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I am in the Father, and the Father is in me.
Amen.
And then he says something very interesting. Verses 11, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Oh, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Do you remember the man who was blind and his eyes were opened, and then he was asked by the Pharisees that who healed you? And the man began to say many things, but one thing that I remember he said is that no one can open the eyes of the blind unless he's from God, unless he's a righteous man. And he was not just meaning about just the outward righteousness. Unless he is God himself. Because it is only God that can restore these kind of situations. And what then was the purpose of Jesus' miracles? It's so that people will believe him and believe the Father.
Amen.
That they may know the Father and may know Jesus Christ the Son. Mm. And that is why he says, if you fail to believe because I have told you, believe because of the miracles that you have seen. Because these miracles that I have done, they are not just my own. It is the Father doing his work through me.
Amen.
Matthew 11:27.
All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal.
You might want to underline the last part that says, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Because here we are talking about Jesus reveals to us the Father, and here we are seeing the text telling us the Son chooses to reveal him, the Father. All things have been granted unto Christ. Colossians says God was pleased to have the fullness of God dwell in the Son. And so now the Son has the authority and the power to reveal to us the fullness of God. My prayer is that I may know the Son. Because if I know the Son, I know the Father.
Amen.
John chapter 1 verses 18. He says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Only Christ can be able to reveal to us the Father. In Korea, I received visitors in my house one day. And you know what they were telling me? They were telling me, now if there is Father the Son, I mean, if there is God the Father and there is God the Son, then there must be God the Mother. Total misunderstanding of what the scripture is about. And you know what? They were also using the scriptures. They were pointing from scriptures. But they were not able to defend themselves accurately. Because there's nowhere in the scripture that talks about God the Mother.
Yes.
Jesus reveals to us God the Father. And he leads us to the Father's presence. Because it is the Father that loves us so much. And Jesus finally says in this lecture, verses 30 of chapter 10. He says, I and the Father are one. So no need to separate these two. So no more questions whether we believe in God the Father or not. Because if you believe in Christ, you believe in the Father. Because they are. Amen? What spirit lives in you? What spirit guides your life? Are you in step with the Holy Spirit? And if the Spirit of God lives in you, then you should be able to testify that Jesus is the Christ.
Yes, sir.
With boldness and with courage, without fear.
Amen.
But if it is a different spirit, then it is a different gospel.
Hallelujah.
Then you are testifying a different Jesus. It means everything is amiss. I pray that each and every one of us will cry out to God, that the Spirit of God will lead us every day. The obedience that our brother spoke about, it is only possible when we submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We cannot obey by our own strength. We cannot obey by doing so many things. It is by walking according to the step of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit agree with? The Holy Spirit agrees with the Word of God. And so if something else that is besides the Word of God, besides the Scripture comes your way, then you know it is not in step with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit agrees with the Word. And we learned from the first lecture that no testimony, none of these scriptures were written according to the will of men, but by the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And therefore we must remember and go in step with the Holy Spirit. May God bless you.
Amen.
clap.